This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning, I'm Roshan Kanisan, and you're listening to Ring It In Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Now, in this day and age, we're all looking for any way that we can grow our money. Yes, the markets have done very well, but it's also been very volatile in recent times. And we're looking at different ways to invest money. Now, one of the newer ways over the last few years is both equity crowdfunding and peer-to-peer financing. Since 2015 to about June this year, Malaysian equity crowdfunding and P2P financing platforms have collectively raised about 430 million ringgit. These financing campaigns have attracted over 12,000 investors. To explore this topic further and see whether P2P financing is for you, I have in the studio with me Christine Ng, Director and Founding CEO of PeopleLender. PeopleLender owns and runs the P2P platform Fundtastic. Welcome to the show, Christine.
Thanks so much, Roshan. Thanks for having me again.
It's my pleasure, Christine. It's been, I think, about a year since you've been on Ring It In Sense.
Yep.
So how has Fundtastic done in the last year?
We've done close to what we've set out our targets to be. We wanted to end the year with 40 million and we ended with around 35.16 million. Yeah, and I think this is actually pretty good results in view of the uncertainty and the fear in the economic situation being impacted by the global situation. Yeah, and so far this year, the industry, P2P industry collectively, since 2015 until June 2016, did 337 million. And we did about 52 million. And right now we've hit about close to 60 million already. And we are still the leader in terms of the access to financing based on the number of SMEs actually served. We hold close to 55% of the share.
So that's in terms of the number of issuers you're talking about?
Yes, issuers.
Now, Christine, what compared to your competitor, the money raised isn't as much as them. Is there a particular reason for this?
Oh, definitely, because we focus on the underserved segments, which are the micro, small and new businesses. Therefore, in order to mitigate the risk for the investors, our maximum exposure is only 200,000 and our average ticket size or the average debt is around 90,000. As opposed to some of our competitors going beyond the 1 million mark and having an average of around 400,000 to 500,000. So that is why I would need to book as many as six issuers to meet their one issuer. And this explains as to why, in terms of the number of issuers, Fundtastic holds the chunk of the market share at around 55%, as mentioned earlier.
So this is the difference between funding bigger businesses but bigger amounts versus going for the SMEs or the micro SMEs.
Yes, correct. Because we've always believed that there's strength in numbers, yeah? And the micro, small and the segments that we are looking into form close to 85% of the 98.5% of the businesses in the country. Yeah, so the segment is really huge. And we believe that from our banking experience, right, whenever there is a volatile or a weak cycle, it affects the bigger boys more than the micro SMEs, because there's just too many of them. So if one fails, there's still like another 10,000 that is doing well. Yeah, and even if 10,000 fails, because their numbers are so huge, there's still about 100,000 that is still surviving. Yeah, and we believe that this is actually a viable business model for us to attract the retail investors whilst helping them to mitigate the risk, because their investment is put into different SMEs altogether. And therefore, even if someone within a certain industry fails, it doesn't mean that the entire industry is collapsing.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. Recently, I think The Edge put out an article about how a P2P player was facing one of its biggest defaults at that point. I think up till this point, we've only had one official default. I'm not too sure about that. But this was going to be the biggest one, and it was the issuer had raised about $3 million at that point. Now, this has obviously got a lot of people worried about the state of P2P.
Yeah.
What's your response to this?
Yeah, I think that any early, especially large amount default would definitely not augur well for the entire industry. After all, P2P in Malaysia is barely like 2.5 years old. So we can't actually afford to see such negative impact. But at the same time, I think we need to be realistic. And I think the investors, through their experience, if they were impacted by this particular default that you've mentioned, right, they would have a very clear wake-up call that, after all, P2P, it's investing, and all investments have risks. So you need to be able to, first of all, understand the risk. And are you investing per your risk appetite? And are you able to mitigate the risks per your risk appetite? For Fundastic, we have, since our platform going live, right, have always informed that our pricing, which is the interest rates that the investors ultimately earn, right, is based on a projected default of 5 to 8% per annum. This means that even the best graded notes, they have a chance of defaulting to 5%, and the worst off is 8%. So the difference between the best graded and the worst graded, it's not a lot. But the 5 to 8% is expected per annum. And so far, we are doing much better than that. We are hovering at around 4-odd%. Yeah. And in fact, if you look at our site now, the default is slightly below 4. Yeah. So with write-offs and things like that, it's around 4.5%. And this actually means that the investors on Fundastic are returning home with better than projected returns if they had invested wisely. And I have to stress the word wisely, because some investors invest akin to a style that I call as punting, you know. So they would think that, okay, it's very difficult for me to get a certain type of notes. So when I have the chance, I put a big chunk of money into it. And the others, I would just put some small amount, you know, so that I actually build a portfolio. But that's not the right way to do it, you know. The right way to do P2P investing is actually to build a portfolio, spread it thin and evenly. Yeah, it's like the principle of applying butter to your toast. You don't just simply put one big chunk in the middle and hope for it to spread. Because if the big chunk in the middle doesn't spread, then, you know, it creates that funny taste in your mouth, right? So same goes. If you have invested in lumpy items, yeah, some notes you invest 3,000, some notes you invest 100, some notes you invest 500, that's not very good. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that goes to the heart of most investing strategies. Yeah. Things like dollar cost averaging and spreading out your bets.
Correct.
But to that effect, I do want to make a clarification, not a clarification, but a separation essentially, that when you are investing in a P2P, what you're doing is you're lending money.
Yes.
Right. You're now a bank and you're issuing a loan, as opposed to if you were in the markets buying equities or stocks. So you have to reflect your strategy in respect to the asset that you're buying. Now, coming back to the issuer that defaulted from one of the competitors, now that particular note issuer had a default rate of about 15.47%, which is much higher than, I think, their average risk profile and yours as well.
Mm-hmm.
So this highlights a very key thing. Whether it's P2P or any type of investment, you have to look at your risk tolerance, especially when it comes to bonds or P2P issuances. If someone is giving you a higher rate of return, it's probably coming with a higher rate of risk.
Correct, correct. Because I believe all the P2P players, when they did the interest pricing, it is based on the risk profiling of the particular issuer or the particular note. Yeah, so that's why it is based on what is the projected risk. And most of the time, the projected risk would be based on things like probability of default or industry standards, looking at certain financials and ability to repay, gearing and things like that. Yeah, so, but I would say all the players actually price in accordance to risk. Yeah.
This is something I would like to really hammer home. When a bank is lending money, that's it. The reason it's looking into you is to find out what is your risk of default, right? And if you are a riskier person to lend to, they're going to make you pay more. That's because they want to earn a reward that is proportional to the risk that they are taking
correct,
on.
Correct.
It's the same thing here, except you're the bank.
Exactly the same. Yeah.
And in a little bit, we're going to talk about capital protection and safeguarding investor interests.
Yeah.
You're listening to Ring and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9, thanks for staying with us here on Ring and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm speaking to Christine Ng, Director and Founding CEO of PeopleLender. PeopleLender owns and runs the P2P platform Fundtastic. Now, Christine, we were talking about that potential default from one of your competitors, something that would really rock the industry because of the sheer size of this default. Mm-hmm. One of the things that Fundtastic has come up with is this capital protection scheme. Could you just elaborate how that works?
Okay, we are really very excited about this because from day one, what we wanted was to drive financial inclusion with the outcome of creating financial well-being for everybody. So we need to put our monies where our mouth is, right? And from day one, we have been doing our monthly investors talk. And investors would ask us, okay, you always say about building a portfolio. How many notes should make a resilient portfolio? And in the absence of data, when we first started about 26 months ago, right, we would say as many as possible. And it doesn't really quantify because some people, many means 50, some people, many means 100, 200, you know. So after looking at the database and the performance of all the active investors, we felt that a portfolio with at least 100 notes would be very resilient, provided that it is invested in around a period of 12 months. That means you took about 12 months to build 100 notes, and it is invested in almost equal amount. No chunky items like what I mentioned, the butter in the middle of the bread. Yeah, so with this, we did stress testing and we felt very confident that our investors with at least 100 notes invested over a period of 12 months with deviation of not more than 3 times from the average investment amount should not be losing money. So if I keep on going out there and telling, you know, I will be driving awareness and interest, but at the end of the day, somebody might say, hey, since you're so confident about this, you know, put your monies where your mouth is. Let us see your confidence. And that's why we decided to come up with Principal Protect. So basically what Principal Protect says is that if you build portfolios, yeah, we will group it into buckets of 100. And as long as it meets the term and condition I've mentioned earlier, okay, then as if you were to lose any of your capital, Fundtastic would fund the loss. So what happens is every month we will pull reports to see if anybody is losing their capital. Yeah, and I always need to stress this is on a portfolio level. People get very jumpy when they see one note defaulting or even turning late, you know, and they will be like, why is it happening so and why is it late so early and things like that. But we need to put into perspective that risk is real, defaults are real, yeah. But one default in a portfolio of 100 would not mean that you will lose money, yeah. You might not get the full projected returns, but you still get decent returns. And as long as you lose money on a portfolio basis, we pull the report. By the next month, by the 10th of the following month, we will pay for the differential. So how do we measure is that we look at a net safety margin, which is unique to Fundtastic reporting. All the investors would be able to know their net safety margin once they log in to their homepage. Yeah, and when the net safety margin turns negative, it will indicate a loss. and we will make up the differential if it is from a note that is protected under the principal protect.
Okay, two things. One, this is from a portfolio basis,
yes.
Right? So does that mean, let's say I am a user of Fantastic.
Yes.
And I have 5 notes.
Yes.
Am I protected
under
this? Not yet.
You need to bill to 100
all right,
to be protected.
So I need 100 notes.
Yes. And not only 100 notes, the 100 notes need to be invested in similar amounts that do not deviate more than 3 times of each other. So let's say your average is 100 ringgit.
Mm-hmm.
The highest amount that can be protected under this portfolio would be 300 ringgit, a note that you invested 300 ringgit in. So assuming if you invested in 120 notes and there are 20 notes that you invested 1,000 ringgit, these 20 notes will not be protected yet. So you would need to actually invest another 80 notes that is at 1,000 ringgit each to form a second portfolio. Yeah, and there is no limit in the number of portfolios that a person can build, but there is a capping in terms of the protection or the payout of the protection. So if your investment is less than 100,000, then it's up to 10,000. And if it is more than 100,000, it's up to 30,000. Yeah.
Right. So obviously with any sort of thing, there are terms and conditions that apply,
yes,
as we've just discussed. So now I've got this portfolio of 100 notes.
Mm-hmm.
Each, let's say they're ranging between 100 and 300 ringgit as mm-hmm. the within the 3-time barrier,
yeah,
there. The return is looked overall. So these,
yes,
100 notes have,
correct,
been packaged into one,
yes,
portfolio.
Correct, correct.
And you only cover the net loss, if,
yes,
anything.
The net loss. Yep, correct.
All right, so
the capital loss. Yeah.
The capital loss. So that's, mm-hmm, and this is based on the 12-month or 6 months. When do you calculate this loss?
The moment the loss is incurred to be sufficient to actually drive your net safety margin to a negative level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So assuming your portfolio might already be not very healthy and your net safety margin is already pretty weak, and this month there is another default, yeah, and it created a negative. So we will look as to whether this default was created by any of the notes that forms the portfolio. And if it is, then we will pay the principal, the unrealized principal portion, not the interest portion. That's why it's called principal protect.
Okay. Yeah. So this sounds like one of the basic rules of investing, right? Diversify your risk,
yes,
spread your bets across,
yep,
dollar cost averaging and such.
Yes.
So we talk a lot about different asset classes on the show. Why would I commit my money to P2P, to peer-to-peer lending? Why wouldn't I put it in equities or bonds for that matter? What is the attractiveness of P2P?
I think for P2P, it is a very good starter investment asset or vehicle, if you want to call it. And that's why it's attracting a lot of youngsters. So it's much easier because the homework that you want to do on equities, it's much more. You need to read tons and tons of annual reports and things like that, right? And the monitoring, as well as the entry barrier, the amount of monies that you need to put in would be much more as compared to P2P. And with regards to bonds, I think recently the issuance of bonds that the public is able to easily subscribe into with strong yields, it's also very limited. Yeah, so this provides a very strong alternative for someone with as little as 50 ringgit, yeah, to try to find out, you know, what is investing all about, what are the risks involved. And I would say that if you were to look at the risk of equity and bonds, yeah, the risk of P2P, it's much more manageable because the ability to diversify and the amount of monies that you need to put in to be able to create a strong diversification, it's much lesser as compared to both of the asset class that you have mentioned. Yeah.
Okay. What is your average default rate at this point?
Currently, our annual, we normally look at annual defaults, right? And it is stated in our website. I haven't looked into the site this morning yet. Yeah, I think it's hovering at around 3.98 slightly lower than 4. Yeah, we do have write-offs. So if we were to include write-offs, it would be at around 4.5. Yeah, 4.5, 4.8. Yeah.
And what's the average return that your notes are bringing in?
In terms of the returns, right, the investors need to look at the effective interest rates that they are getting. So basically now, net of defaults and write-off, most of our investors with at least 100 notes, yeah, they are taking home at around 12 to 13% per annum, which is actually pretty good because that's like 3 times of FD rates, right? And we've heard that OPR might be even reduced in the fourth quarter. Yeah, so it's still very, very decent returns. Yeah.
Okay, and I think the final note I have here is that this is a direct investment, essentially. You're investing directly into a business.
Yes, into the
debt. Local business. So, yes. And yes, that comes with different types of risks, but it comes with a more straightforward relationship because you're investing into a single company with a single note. It's more focused.
Yes.
And on that note, I'd like to thank you for joining me today. I was speaking to Christine Ng, Director and Founding CEO of PeopleLender. PeopleLender is the owner and operator of the P2P platform Fantastic. This was Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Up next is the 10 a.m. News Bulletin and then Enterprise. I'm Roshan Kanasan, signing off for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.